Get a deeper connection with the Cougars of BYU Sports.
God gives us a gift, and we use that gift until he takes it away.
Deep Blue.
Just sitting down afterward and being really tired and thinking like, wow, I just won the U.S. championship.
This is Deep Blue. Here's your host, Jason Shepherd.
Thanks for tuning in for a new episode of Deep Blue. This is the show where we get to know the person behind the number that you see on the field or the court. These are the true stories of BYU athletes from their own mouths. But this episode is going to be a bit different. You aren't going to hear from anyone associated with the BYU sports programs. Yeah, well, let me explain. I interviewed some of the amazing players and coaches who the Cougars will face this season on the hardwood at Big 12 Basketball Media Days. We've compiled a few of those interviews for this episode. Up first, Oklahoma State's Lior Garzon. She's a native of Israel and opens up about what's going on in her home country. But first, we focus on her enthusiasm for this brand new season with her fellow Cowgirls.
I'm so excited. You know, every season you bring something new to the table, and we have like new teams. Obviously, you guys coming to our conference, so I think it's going to be very fun.
What do you make of the four new teams? Because beyond there being four new teams and four new places to travel, it also stabilizes and, in a lot of respects, improves the conference. So what did you make of the conference expanding with the four schools?
I think they're bringing more styles of the game. You know, this team playing a little bit different than the Big 12 regular teams playing. So I think just to see this different style and how to guard them or like how to beat them, going to be very interesting to see like how every team handled that. So I think that's going to be very interesting.
Last year, I read a couple of different places, kind of described your season last year as a breakout season for you.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, what went into last year being that type of season for you?
I think I grew up a lot. Like, my game, my maturity, I just handle things way better than I used to. And my coaching, our coaching staff, they helped me a lot. Like, I can't even, like, describe how much from coming for kind of, like, small school, mm-hmm. a little bit not as competitive conference as the Big 12. They helped me a lot and showed me how I can bring myself and just do the best I can do.
So how do you take that breakout season and then get better this year?
I think, first of all, taking the confidence mm-hmm. I got from last year. I think that's probably the most important thing for a basketball player,
yep.
to have confidence. And then just build up, like, I know everybody call me a shooter, but now I want to show, like, I can do more stuff mm-hmm. than just shooting the ball. So I think that's going to be interesting to see.
You were at Villanova before.
Yeah.
What brought you to Stillwater?
I think, first of all, when I visited Stillwater, I felt like home.
Yeah.
I came with my dad, and I was like, I feel like I'm home right now. Like, you know, obviously I'm from so far away, so
yeah.
that was really important for me.
You mentioned you're from far away. You're a native of Israel.
Yes, I am.
Obviously, Israel has been in the news a lot lately. I'm curious, from someone who is from there, how have you handled what you're seeing and I'm sure hearing from family and friends?
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard. Like, there is nothing someone really can do, even personally I can do to like get over it. Obviously, this is my people, this is my country. But I think our system and my teammates and our coaching staff, they really helped me just like to express my feeling and try not to be quiet about it and be open. But it's really hard. I mean, I just really pray for them every single day and talk to them as much as I can.
So how much family do you still have back there?
All of them.
All of your
family.
I mean,
my sister is in Indiana,
uh-huh.
but other than that, everybody in the family is basically back home in Israel. So my other sister, she's in the army right now, actually. So yeah, she haven't been home. So yeah, just trying to stay in touch.
Is it difficult to focus on basketball and day-to-day stuff when bigger things like that are going on?
A little bit. I mean, I think the last week I just realized there is a lot in this world than just basketball. You know, we think and we put our personality based on our basketball performance and just realize there is so much more in this world than just like if the ball went in or not, or if you win a game or not. People actually like fighting for their life. Like, we don't really say that, but this is the reality. And I don't know, I think it makes me a little bit more relaxed and calm and trying to really enjoy the moment, because I get to be here, I get to be in a safer place right now. So just to really enjoy the moment.
How would you say your faith has helped you through times like this?
I really believe in God. I believe in His plan. I believe there is a reason for everything. I can't tell you that I understand why this is going on right now for my people, my family, and basically my country. But I know maybe in like a couple of years when we look back, like we look back now in the Holocaust and look at us, we have like a whole country that we might didn't have. The Holocaust never happened. So it's definitely hard to see it right now, but I hope in maybe, I don't know, 50, 60, 70 years, we look back and be like, all right, that's why.
You mentioned that when you went to Stillwater, it just felt like home. And in general, when somebody's away from home and you're out by yourself, being able to have a place that feels like home and a family like you have in your teammates, how much has that helped you, not just in this situation, but just in general, to be amongst a group of players and teammates that make you feel like you're in a family?
A lot. I mean, I feel like everybody wants to feel like he's part of something, and this is what family is about. So just feel like I'm part of this big group of, like, they're my sisters right now. Yeah. Like, if something happened to them, like, I feel it too. So it definitely helped just to feel home, be like, feel like you can be yourself, basically. Yeah. And that's, I think, the most important thing for a person.
That's OSU's Lior Garzon. Next, Odie Aguama of Cincinnati. The Bearcat forward was the team's defensive player of the year. Now he and his teammates are ready to get defensive in a new conference.
You've played in a Power 5 conference before.
Right.
We'll get to that in a second.
Mm-hmm.
But what is this like for you and your program to be joining the Big 12 this year?
It's just big. Like you said, it's big. It's something new. It's fresh. And I think it's also not just for us, like the players and the coaches and you know, all the people like involved in sports, but also just for like the community itself, you know what I mean? It's bringing a lot of people out of like I wouldn't say the woodworks, but I know a lot of people who, you know, like, they used to participate in like Cincinnati sports, you know, back when they were like, you know, making the tourney all the time. Uh-huh. We'll get back to that, you know what I mean? You know, we'll get back to that. But yeah, you know, it's bringing the community back together, I'm pretty sure. And not even pretty sure, I'm certain of it. And everyone's just thrilled, happy, looking forward to it.
So as I mentioned, you came to Cincinnati last year. You played in the ACC at Wake Forest.
Mm-hmm.
What lured you to Cincinnati? Why was Cincinnati the place for you?
So long story short, the coaching staff, mm-hmm. I've known them, or I knew of Coach Miller when he was at UNCG.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew, like, you know, all the other staff members and everything. I knew them because I'm from North Carolina.
Yep.
So I knew them, they knew me. And as soon as I hit the portal, they were one of like the few, like the first teams to ever like contact me.
Yeah.
I was like, oh wow, this is crazy. Like, you know, and life came full circle and here I am.
Well, and like I said, you know what it's like to play in an elite basketball conference.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of have an idea of what your team is about to embark on. Can you put it into words what playing at the Power 5 level is like?
I'll say this. It's like you don't get like a night off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like sometimes you may feel like, this team, bottom of the conference, we could chill. It's not going to be like that at all. And like we all, my team, everyone knows this. Like going into it each day, each night, you know, even traveling here, whether it's here or, you know, back in Fifth Third, every night's going to be a fight, it's going to be a battle, and everyone's going to be like locked in and focused.
So you were the team's defensive player of the year last year. How much pride do you take in that aspect of your game?
I take a lot of pride in that. That's really like, that's like my niche, you know what I mean? Like that's something I cater my game towards. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I like being able to match up with or take like certain matchups. Like I take pride in like accepting that challenge,
mm-hmm.
to, you know, guard a guy or, you know, stop this action or, you know, blow this action up and stuff like that.
Your coach's dream, talking about,
man,
how you love to play defense.
I love it.
Have you always been that way? Has that always been part of your game, or did you have to learn to do that?
I've always been that way, being that, like, I was a late bloomer, mm-hmm. so I didn't really start hooping, like, I didn't play basketball. I was on my first team until I was, like, 14. So, and I didn't take it serious until, like, high school, like, middle of high school, sophomore year or something.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I sort of had to, you know, like, everyone else is, you know, they doing all this and all that. I'm like, oh, dang, like, I need to make up some ground somehow, and I figured defense was a way I could do that.
I'm a real late bloomer myself. I'm still waiting for my girls to get that play, so.
Got you.
Okay, so now we mentioned the new schools. You guys get an opportunity to come to Provo this year. Have you ever been to Utah before?
Ooh, yeah, no, I've been to Utah. I've been to Utah once ever, and it wasn't like a pleasant visit, being that we lost in the NIT tournament. But
Yeah,
my one visit, first and last time in Utah.
Okay.
Oh no, not last. I'm lying.
Yeah, not last.
I'm lying.
Okay, so here's the thing. What do you know about BYU? What do you know anything about BYU?
I know about Mormons.
Okay.
Mormons.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Okay. Is there any BYU basketball player that you can think of?
Yeah, Jimmer.
Okay.
That's about it. Oh, and the GOAT himself, Tyler. Oh my gosh, that dude was a bucket.
Oh yeah.
I tell you, bro. Like
walking bucket.
Walking bucket.
A humble
bro.
Walking bucket.
So they say.
Yeah.
So they say.
Yeah.
So they say. That man, oh my gosh. Like, just watch. Every single time he got the ball, it was like, bro, he got the ball, and it was automatic. You just knew he was going to.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, bro. He's different.
You got to meet him, too. What was that like for you?
Bro, I was awestruck. I was like, wow, I'm really. I shook his hand. I don't know if you know that.
You going to wash that hand?
No, bro. This hand. Tyler, bro.
I'm not gonna shake your hand after because I don't want to have.
No one's ever shaking my hand after this.
I don't think. Yeah. Nope. Yeah. Okay. You nailed this interview, by the way. This was so much fun. Good luck this year. Can't wait to see you in Provo. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
And just to clarify, the Tyler Odie mentioned was BYU's all-time leading scorer, Tyler Hawes, who was also at Big 12 Media Days. It was funny because Tyler was in the room when that went down. It was so funny. Tyler was both embarrassed and excited all at the same time. It was a really cool moment and something that will certainly stand out to me when I think back at Big 12 Media Days in Kansas City. All right, up next, brand new Texas Tech head coach, Grant McCaslin, who knows a thing or two about the Red Raiders. He was the team's director of operations from 1999 through 2001.
You're no stranger to this conference. You're no stranger to Texas Tech. You have a previous history with the Red Raiders. So I want to ask you what it means to you to be the head coach at Texas Tech.
Yeah, you know, people are like, hey, is this your dream job? And honestly, I try not to think about it in those terms. Just because of where you are and who you're with, you have relationships with people. And the previous head coach and all the head coaches have been there. It's not like you want them to. I wanted them to have success, right? But when you step into it and you get the opportunity, it is unique, all the things that aligned. One being my wife played soccer at Texas Tech. Our first job being at Texas Tech, and then we started dating. We ended up getting married, and we lived in Midland, which is another part of West Texas. Mm-hmm. This was my first junior college job, first head coaching job. All our kids were born in West Texas, so it's really honestly cool to kind of come full circle and then bring our family back to West Texas, and this be our first opportunity to be in the Big 12 and our only opportunity, I hope.
That's awesome. And look, and the answer, you may have touched on it a couple of times, but you know, your track record speaks for itself. You know, there's a reason that you got this job, and that's because you're a winner. What was attractive about this job for you?
Well, first and foremost, in the state of Texas, football wins. Okay, so let's not get confused. But what's unique about Texas Tech now and the history and the actual build of it is we have the most attended games in all of Texas. And so you do have a captive audience. And I think you can appreciate this, but it's just how do you bring everybody together? And one way they bring people together is basketball.
Yeah.
And it's warm in the gym and you can get 15,000 people in there to make it wild.
Yeah.
And then we've got an opportunity to really, I think, compete at the highest level because we have such a passionate fan base that loves Texas Tech basketball, and it's at a time where you're in a league that's the best league in the country. So if you can combine those two and win home games, then I think you give yourself a chance to be one of the best teams nationally. And just thrilled that the personal story isn't where it ends, right? It's a part of, like, we want to compete for national championships, and I believe it's proven that it's possible at Texas Tech, and the build would give us hopefully a future where that's something we can play for.
Well, let's talk about your team. And there's a lot of new. You're obviously part of the new, but I believe, what, 9 new players? Not everybody's gone, but you do have a pretty new roster from what the Texas Tech fans saw last year. Tell me about your team and what you think you have on your hands right now.
Yeah, I think across the country, everybody's got new, it feels like.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of a common theme. Intentionally, though, we've got 5 transfers, 3 super seniors, 1 senior and 1 sophomore that was Mountain West player, the freshman of the year. And the one thing all those guys have in common, they all played in the NCAA tournament. So, like, just the mentality-wise, not only do they want to play in it now, I think they want to win in it. And I felt like that was the most important part. When we talk through their stories and we talk to people around them and you do your research on them and you try to know them as people, you find out really quickly. And our biggest question was, like, you know, like, what were they like in the locker room and who are they as people? And that, the biggest thing for me was, like, everybody loved playing with these guys. Like, genuinely, like, I loved being on this team. I had people call me that played pickup with some of these people in the summer, and they're like, you know who all the pros like playing with in the summer? Darian Williams. You know, it's like, honestly, it's like, how do you find people that, and I think when you're building a program, that's a big component to it, because teams that love each other and teams that practice really hard, they always get better. Yeah. Their ceiling is never the top. It's always like, we can get a little better. Why? Because they love being around each other. So I think for us, winning and building this roster was really like, how do we add people that won are unbelievable teammates and genuinely like love being around and part of winning, and then who has done it and has a higher expectation, so that we can teach the younger guys that are a part of the roster that weren't winning last year or didn't get a chance to play in the NCAA tournament, this is what it looks like and this is how we're going to do it together. So finding guys that want to win and how they want to win, I think, was a priority.
Well, the Big 12 Conference is going to look a little different than the last time you were here. The addition of 4 new schools, BYU being one of them. What did you make of expansion and the 4 new schools that are now part of the Big 12 Conference?
The ads are like great basketball. Like, honestly, I had the opportunity of playing a game at BYU, and I had a player that signed at Cincinnati when I was in junior college, and then the University of Houston, being I lived in Houston for 9 years and seeing what Coach Sampson's done there, and then Central Florida, actually the AD there, Terry Mahajer, and Coach Z is the sports administrator, that's who hired me at Arkansas State. So like literally like all the schools that are joining, like it's pretty awesome. And then you add the other schools that are joining here in a year. I think what people will find is the conference will only get better. I honestly believe that. Mm-hmm. And why? Because, and I'm looking at it from a basketball perspective, because these are basketball schools with basketball traditions that actually have an expectation for winning. And I think with the additional resources that come with doing this and being a part of the Big 12, I think it's only true that the best days are ahead for the Big 12.
You said you've played a game at BYU. Do you remember anything specifically from that game?
Well, I was an assistant at Baylor
for
under Scott Drew, and it was the Perry Jones, Pierre Jackson team that I will tell you this, like there's the atmospheres in college athletics and basketball, and BYU is one of the best. And just remember feeling like there's a camaraderie in the building, obviously, but there's also like this is a tough place to play, and winning is difficult. So just a lot of respect for the difficulty that it is to play, but also the camaraderie in the building.
So how far along do you think your team is we get closer to the start of this season? How close do you feel they are to being ready to hit the ground running?
Well, I think we all know this. The best teams get better all the way through the year, and you better have a short memory in the Big 12. You better not remember your wins, nor you better you remember your losses. And I think what we're focused on and what will determine kind of our ceiling is just how much we embrace the physicality that's required to win in the Big 12, and then how do we have an approach that we're not where we need to be at any point.
Well, I can tell you in talking with your players, they have the utmost confidence in you, and each one of them told me the reason that they are there is because of the way you made them feel, and they wanted to play for you. So I think that is as good a compliment as you can get when your players are talking about you the way that they are.
Yeah, no doubt. And I told you we haven't determined playing time yet, too.
Just angling for some minutes, huh?
I'm sure that's a part of it. No, they're not like that. They're built to, I think, appreciate people, right? And I think when you try to be as honest as you can through the process, because a lot of people tell you what you want to hear, and I just tried to find that line of like, let's be as transparent as we can to tell them what we really hope for them. And and how we're going to love them and be around them and care for them in ways that maybe don't just have basketball aspirations tied to them, right? And mm-hmm. how you improve them and how you love on them is equally important as how they improve as a basketball player. That's not always the fun part to talk about, but I think in the end it allows you to win, and that's the part that they appreciate and what they want to be a part of.
That's Texas Tech Red Raiders head coach Grant McCaslin. Coming up next, managing national championship expectations with Kansas Jayhawk DeJuan Harris and TCU guard Madison Connor's unique connection with a couple of former BYU Cougars. Welcome back to the Deep Blue Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Shepherd. For this episode, we've compiled some of my favorite interviews from players and coaches from Big 12 Basketball Media Days. Our next guest is Kansas guard and reigning Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year, DeJuan Harris. I wanted to know what it's like playing for a team that always has national championship expectations.
Well, I think that's just what comes with it. I mean, we got the best coaching staff in America. You know, they've been coaching together for a long time, probably longer than I've been alive, so I just build all my trust from them, and, you know, they trust us and my teammates. So we just really just come in every day and try to be coachable, try to be a better player every day. So,
speaking of the coaching staff, what's it like to play for Coach Self? What has he meant to you and your career with the Jayhawks?
Well, basically, he changed my life because, you know, I've been through a lot of stuff. I had to go through some academic work before I even had to go to KU. So he helped me out a lot. He changed my life. He made my life better, made it more easier. And then even playing for him, he makes the game easy for me because, you know, he loves point guard. So he just I'm just the next one up in line. So he just makes it easy for me. Then we got one of the best bigs in the country. So really it's just the coaching staff and then the plays we run. So it just makes it easy for me. So, yeah.
So we were talking about expectations before. You guys picked to win the Big 12. That's not a surprise. I want to know how you guys handle having a constant target on your back when you're in a program like this and everybody guns for you. Nobody takes a night off when they play you because that's their big game. How much does that help you guys on the floor knowing that you're going to get everybody's best?
You know, the Big 12 is the hardest conference in the country. It's been the hardest conference in the country. But, you know, really, you know, being in the Big 12, you know, you got to ground out games, you know. Coaches emphasizes defense a lot, and if we start there first, then how could we lose? Because, you know, if you getting stops on one end, then that should lead to offense on the other end. So really just staying together throughout the whole year, blocking out the outside noise because, you know, everybody wants to come for us anyway. Nobody likes Kansas for real. And really, yeah, just trying to block out the outside noise and just staying together and keeping everything in our locker room. And, yeah, like I said, staying together.
You used a word, grind, and I've heard that word used over and over and over again when people describing what it's like to play in the Big 12. When you talk about it just grinding out games, what take us through what a Big 12 game is like, because obviously BYU and the other three schools are joining this league. So take all of those fan bases through what a grind, a game, and a season is like in this conference.
Basically, you know, we won the Big 12 last year when we played against Texas Tech. Like, there's like one of the teams like last in our standards, our conference or whatever,
yeah.
But they were still good though. But, you know, we ended up beating them by like 4 points, 2 points, 3 points or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it came down to one play, and that one play helped us win a championship. So, yeah, just basically that, you know.
So I've had the chance to see your campus and the football stadium. I have yet to be able to go to Allen Fieldhouse, which, as we know, is an iconic place to play.
Yeah.
You guys do not come to Provo, but BYU comes to Lawrence this year.
Yeah.
What should everybody expect with the game day?
I thought we was going to go there. A lot of people want us to go there because I heard it's crazy there too. But really, the fans is just how much they care about us. It doesn't matter if it's raining, if it's snow on the ground. They're going to show up and be there proud and happy. Yeah. So we have a lot of love for our fans. They have a lot of love for us, and we just thankful for them. So
you've got that Jayhawk on your chest. What does it mean to you to wear that logo?
It means a lot. You know, there's been a ton of players that came through here. Really, it means just hard work and dedication and just trying to be that next big one. And then have somebody else follow their dreams, be right behind you. So I'm just following behind Devon Dotson after he, well, Marcus and Devon after they had their years here. And then hopefully there's another more point guard that come after me.
I think one of the things that impresses me most about what the Kansas program does is we know the type of talent that comes to Kansas. We know that anybody individually could be the guy on at any program, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yet you guys have decided to come together as a collective and do something together, and sometimes somebody may have to take a backseat to somebody else.
Yeah.
What does that say about you guys that you're willing to do that for one common goal?
Well, basically, if somebody drops out, just the next man up, you know, coach emphasizes just being together as a team, and that's what we try to work on and off the court. And basically the system that we're running in is that everybody brings the ball to go up the court, and we try to get one side to the next side, and we just play together. Coach makes sure we play together, so it just makes it easy. So yeah.
All right. So last thing, we mentioned, you know, obviously the new schools. What do you make of these new? You'd mentioned you'd heard that things are crazy out in Provo, even though you're not going to get a chance to play there. What do you make of the four new schools that are now part of the Big 12?
The schools that came are basketball schools, so it makes it even more hard because the teams that I was just in, yeah, that was hard when they used to come, used to go there. But really, it's just all the games going to be grinded out, and we just got to, for me, for my team, we just got to stay together and be coachable.
That was Kansas Jayhawks guard DeJuan Harris. Satiya Messer took over the UCF women's basketball team just last season, so she's transitioning the Knights into the Big 12 in just her second season on the job. It sounds like a tall task, but she knows a little bit about this conference, helping to coach the Baylor Bears for 8 years.
Coach, I can't think of anybody better to help lead this UCF program into this Big 12 future than somebody that's experienced what the Big 12 is all about. How important is that for you to be able to lead this team into this new chapter?
Well, I'm very excited, and it's an honor to be able to lead our team into the Big 12. You know, having been in the Big 12 before, but I will say it's a little different. It's five new coaches, yeah, since I was an assistant in the Big 12. But I can tell you the best restaurants. I can tell you the best hotels and where to stay. But, you know, I will say the one thing I always enjoyed as a coach about the Big 12 is just the different styles of play. When you look at Kansas, you're going to have zone. You look at Texas, you're going to have man-to-man gritty up in you, those type styles of play. And I just really love that. I love that. And that's what I'm excited about to return to the Big 12. It's one of the best leagues in the country.
So what is it like to recruit to UCF? I admittedly, before, you know, BYU and UCF and all these schools were coming into the league, I did not necessarily realize how big UCF was in that area.
Yeah.
Talk to me about recruiting to UCF.
You know, it's a great opportunity to recruit to UCF. One, we have almost 70,000 students. So that is crazy, right? To have the great student base we have. But we're the youngest alumni base in the country. The average alumni age is 34 years old. So we're young, we're energetic and up and coming. So that style, and to be able to recruit to Orlando, on top of UCF, it's second to none. So, and being in the Big 12, it gives us opportunity to get in with star players, and we're trying to take full advantage of it.
Well, the four schools that are coming in will always be linked together because you're beginning this journey as a group.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on the other schools that will be joining the Big 12 this year?
Well, I really admire them. I think they have some great head coaches. When you look at, you know, of course, BYU, you look at Cincinnati, what Trina did at Memphis and Houston, the tournament run they made, it's really good. So I'm excited about that, and I think they're great, great schools.
Where is how is the program different heading into year two for you?
The program is a lot different. So when we took the job in year one, there was five players left. Most of them had transferred out or went with the previous staff to another university. So we had to hire a staff, get players out of the portal, and build a team. Put these people together and say, hey, let's build chemistry. So for us, it's exciting. You know, our challenge is to get better 1% better every day. And that's what we're working on. And the rest will fall where it may.
All of your players have said what you just said, the 1% better every day. The other thing that they've all said is how much you're preaching defense.
Yeah.
How was the team responding to that?
Well, they know if you don't play defense, you don't play. So you either respond or sit on the bench. But no, they're responding. They're buying into it. Because, you know, I've been in the Big 12. Some of my staff members have been in the Big 12. And we're telling them to win in the Big 12 and to win championships, you got to play D. Defense travels. So we have really got our players to buy into that, and so we're excited about it.
The other thing that they've all talked about is that nobody wanted to be picked last,
yeah.
And that you guys have used that as motivation, that you've posted that to where the players see that every day. What went into the decision to do that and use that in that way?
Well, because I thought, how would I feel if I was in their shoes, okay, as a player? I would want to go out and prove people wrong. If I see that every day in my mirror as I put on my jersey, you picked us at the bottom. We can only get 1% better and get to the top.
If this team progresses like you want it to, in your mind, what does that look like? What is this team doing that's going to put it in position to be where you want it to be?
Well, one, they're buying into us as a coaching staff. The chemistry is what we needed on the court. And to be what we want to be is we got to be a gritty defensive team. We got to get in the passing lanes. We got to get up on you. We got to deny the ball. We have to continue where we were and rebound it and get better. When it comes to offense for us, every night it's all hands on deck. It could be a different person every night. Right now we don't have that star elite offensive player, but we have players that can be elite each night.
BYU fans, one thing that you will know, and certainly it's not every BYU fan, but in large part, BYU fans are very, very pro-Disney.
Okay.
So while BYU can go ahead and say that we have the mountains, you know, and that's something that we can promote, they're probably going to be a little jealous that you've got Disney World there by. Are you a Disney fan? Do you go to Disney World?
Do I go? You should ask my staff. Yeah. So I'm the youngest of 8, and I have 14 nieces and nephews. So as soon as they visit me, it's like, Aunt Tia, Disney, Universal Studios. So, yeah, I go to Disney a little bit too much. So,
okay.
I do go.
I have a favorite ride. Do you have a favorite ride?
At Universal Studios?
At Disney World.
Disney World.
The Matterhorn or Space Mountain?
Space Mountain.
Okay.
Space Mountain.
Well, you and I just became best friends. That's my favorite. Coach, thank you so much. This was an absolute pleasure. Thank you for taking a few minutes.
Thank you, guys. Thanks. Thank you for having me.
That, again, is UCF women's basketball coach Satiya Messer. Our final interview in this episode is with TCU's Madison Connor, who just happened to transfer to Fort Worth from the University of Arizona.
You're from Chandler, so you're an Arizona kid. What brought you to TCU? What went into that decision?
I feel like just the coaching staff, they have a purpose behind what they're doing, and seeing what they did at Sac State, just trying to change the program around. And we have everything that we need at TCU to have a great program, and I think Mark is the coach to do that.
What do you add to this team?
I say my shooting ability, just scoring at all three levels, but definitely spreading the floor and knocking down open threes.
But you also have some NCAA tournament experience with Arizona. How much, first of all, how much does that help you personally? But then how can you use that to help your teammates now in Fort Worth?
Yeah, I feel like it was huge. I graduated early and actually was able to be a part of the team that went to the NCAA championship. So that was kind of a great experience. I was 17 years old in the NCAA championship, so that was a great experience to have, just learning and seeing what it takes to get to that level and play at that level and perform. So I feel like just having that experience and just honestly just like staying poised throughout the whole process. I'm seeing like you have to be consistent. Just because you're in the tournament doesn't mean that you play different than you do in your preseason games or anything. So kind of just taking every game the same.
What did you think when you realized that Arizona was coming into the conference, that you'll be in the same conference with them?
I got excited, honestly. I hope we get to go and play there and play in front of my family and some of the fans that I used to play in front of. So I feel like it'll be fun, fun environment to play in for sure. Get to play against some of my old teammates and my old coaches, so exciting.
Speaking of Arizona, you know the Barcellos. Mm-hmm. Alex, Amanda Barcello. You actually played with Amanda, is that correct?
Yeah, correct.
So what's the connection with the Barcellos?
I don't know. Me and Amanda played club ball together for one summer, and then me and Alex actually work out at the same place when we go back home. So I see him every once in a while when I go work out back home.
So BYU is nothing new to you. You know about BYU,
right?
I
know about BYU.
All right, so what do you know about BYU?
Oh, man. I really don't know that much about BYU. Utah, that's about
it. You're from Arizona. Have you been to the state of Utah? I assume you have, but maybe not.
I actually don't think I've been to Utah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you're playing home and away, so this will be an opportunity to come to Provo then for the very first time.
First time.
Yeah.
First for everything, huh?
Yeah, you can ask Alex and Amanda about
how
what to expect when they come here, yeah?
All right.
So what does this season mean to you? What do you look forward to in this upcoming year?
I'd say just proving people wrong. We're ninth in the conference. Mm-hmm. So it's a brand new team, brand new staff. So obviously we have a lot to prove. We have to gel well as a team, learn how to play well together. So I feel like the Costa Rica trip that we got to take was huge for us with so many new people. But honestly, just kind of showing what we're capable of, and it's hard to flip a program around in 1 year, so we'll see what we can do.
Well, Madison, thank you so much for taking a few minutes. I really enjoyed the conversation. And next time you see Alex or Amanda, make sure you tell them hello from us.
All right, we'll do.
TCU Horned Frogs guard, Madison Connor. That's going to do it for our Big 12 Media Days episode. My name is Jason Shepherd. Josh Bergstrom and Ben Hall produced this episode. Deep Blue's senior producer is Cleon Wall. You can download and subscribe to Deep Blue on all podcast platforms or find all episodes on the BYU Radio app. Deep Blue is a production of BYU Radio.